I need a lady's opinion, 'cause I'm not a lady like a lady is.
Hey everyone, welcome back for another episode of the Womansplaining Podcast. I am Ray and I'm joined today by
Cheryl.
And Melissa is actually out. She's on vacation in the Caribbean.
Is she?
Yeah.
I feel like she's never here. Not here in this basement, but like in Utah.
Not really. I mean, no, like she hardly ever goes on vacation. So this is well deserved.
Isn't she like in a cottage or some shit?
Oh, she went to a family reunion in Idaho. But I don't really count that as a vacation. That's a family obligation. Anyway, she's on a much deserved vacation in the Caribbean.
Get it, girl.
We have another guest with us today. We have
Nikki.
Nurse Nikki has joined us.
Nurse Nikki. What's that show that was on Netflix? Nurse
Jackie.
That show was good. And then it got weird.
I never watched it.
It was really good. But I'll have to tell you this funny story real quick because it's hilarious. When I had a C-section, I was taking pain medications, opioids. And I think they gave me 30 of them. And I
sold them on the street?
No. I could use the money later.
I'm like, to me?
No, just kidding. So they gave me 30 pills for the time period, and that would have been enough. Well, I stopped after about 25. I didn't feel like I needed it. And then I started getting body aches.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. I'm telling my mom. I'm like, I'm going to be the nurse.
I'm addicted to opioids.
It was awful. I wasn't addicted. I had mastitis, but that was
you're not addicted to heroin.
I'm not a nurse, Jackie.
You have not turned into her yet.
Not yet.
Okay. One day. You let us know when that happens and we'll report you. Just kidding.
I feel like I have no concept of how much medication it takes to overdose or become addicted to a thing. Because I'll always be I can't take four. I can't take another ibuprofen. I already took two today. And my sister-in-law's it's fine.
Yeah, she's a nurse. They even do I took an ibuprofen 800 this morning and that would be four.
Yeah.
200s.
Yeah. So you can have 3,600 milligrams in a day.
See, just call Nikki. Yeah, Nurse Nikki. We'll put her phone number in the show notes. Give her a call. Send any pictures her way.
Do you have – okay, so my sister-in-law who lives in Ohio is a nurse, and I'm constantly calling her what's this ailment, blah, blah, blah. And do you get that from people who call you with their ailments and
all the time.
I just realized I could be, and I have never done that.
You don't. My husband, he'll ask me what's going on. Never take my advice. No. If he would listen to my advice.
Oh. He just does the opposite.
Yeah. I'm so this morning he's like, oh, I'm old. My legs hurt. I'm go take some ibuprofen. 2 hours later, complaining about the same thing.
My legs hurt.
I'm like, oh, my.
Why did his legs hurt? What did you guys do?
That's just a thing that happens.
We're selling our house.
Yeah, we're just old.
I'm I did yoga yesterday and my legs hurt.
Oh my God, my fucking shoulders. I did yoga. I did one chaturanga. One. And I cannot fucking lift my shoulders above here.
Chaturanga.
What the fuck?
Amanda and I went to this summer solstice yoga celebration thing. It was 2 hours long. And I was like, oh my God, yoga for 2 hours? What the fuck?
Did I sign up for Shavasana?
So it was actually a four-part thing. So we did an Ashtanga series.
Yeah.
And it was hot as balls and I was so sweaty.
Yeah.
And it was that's all the part that hurts you and feels like a
and
workout.
Then it's all chill.
And then you do restorative and we did all these stretchy, lay on a blanket and put your back this way and blah, blah, blah. And that was amazing. And then we did a chant session.
Ugh,
and then we
did that shit.
It was actually cool enough
to do that.
It feels kind of weird and embarrassing at first, but then if you just you're like, ah, whatever, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I need a glass of wine in order to not give a shit. Wine.
Do you ever just walk out of a yoga class though?
No, you lay down if you don't want to do it.
Really?
Yeah. Nobody judges you. I've laid down many a times when I'm like, oh, I'm going out.
Or, if they're like, do this pose, and I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go in a child's pose.
I have all kinds of injuries. Yeah. I have to skip shit all the time.
That's the thing I love about yoga is that they're always just like, do what works best for your body. Yeah. No judgments. No one's pushing you.
Everyone's like, oh, yoga's so hard. But I'm like, you don't have to do any of the hard stuff. Yeah. Do whatever, is hard enough for you.
As someone who has just gotten into yoga, I used to think you had to do it exactly no. the way. And now I've learned, like, with going to different classes.
Yeah.
Well, okay, my classes are online.
But well, whatever.
They're yeah. like, just do what
do
feels
what
good to
literally
you.
Literally feels good to you. Like, yeah. don't push it any further.
I know, but, like,
or take
I
a
thought,
nap. Like, who
you know,
cares?
When they wanted, you know, your arms up, like, the, oh, whatever. Yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, no, we're going to do this. This feels this? Good.
Yeah. Oh, my body doesn't work that way. So I'm going to do something different.
Hello, giant ass tits.
Yeah.
Not everything works.
Seriously. But no one's going to like, no yoga instructor's going to come scream in your face and be like, chaturanga harder, get those legs
so
up.
There are actually these classes called sculpt classes, and it's like half aerobics, half yoga.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they
yeah, yeah,
literally
yeah.
will come and yell at you. And there's this one thing like where you're holding a block and it's really hard and you're shaking, and they'll come around and try to yank the block out of your hand, like if you're not holding it hard enough. And I have a fucking shoulder injury. I'm starting physical therapy on Monday, and this bitch yanked a fucking block out of it, and she was like, oh, and I was like,
that's not
you whore.
I know. If you
just like kick your leg back on accident as she's walking by.
Yeah, I have done that before.
Right in the vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ask any like real practitioners of yoga, that's not yoga. It's like exercise stretching.
Yeah. 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 With weights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know all the cheese that I bought for the last time we were going to record, but then we didn't? I ate all the cheese.
Oh. You know, I was going to bring that brie that I talked about last night, but I was like, I'm just going to eat it.
I was like, I could save this cheese for next time.
Yeah.
I don't like brie.
Well, you try like really good brie one time, and then if you hate it, you don't ever have to eat it again.
I'm agreeable to it.
Okay, good. Have you seen those like videos of them throwing cheese on cats?
What?
Like Kraft singles on cats?
No.
It is so fucking hilarious. Like, we have to Google this right now.
What do they do?
You just, like, toss a slice of floppy cheese at a cat, and it's, like, sticks to their face, and they're so afraid of it, and they just, like, hold still. Like, cats freak the fuck out.
I feel like that's mean, though. It was like the cucumber thing in cats.
You know, Cece's not afraid of them. No matter how many I put behind her while she's eating, she's just like, what the fuck is this, mom?
Bitch, get this cucumber
like,
out of here.
You're dirty. Why are you putting your food on the floor? I'm like, God damn it, get scared.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to look up those
videos
later.
No, yeah, it's so funny. That's and then amazing. You do it to, like, dogs, and dogs are just like, ah! And then eat it.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get it anywhere close to their face.
Just, right. So, Nikki, I was just going to ask you, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you know Cheryl. Like, you obviously you've mentioned your husband, so you're married, you have kids. Like, how long have you been married?
Give us your deets.
Yeah.
So, I've been with my husband for 8 years. Actually, like, this month, it's been 8 years.
Nice. Yeah, it's eight's my lucky number.
She's like, well, we're getting divorced, so it's honestly not
lucky.
Oh, gosh. No, we don't need that drama in our family. Yeah. So, but I've been married 6 years, but I have 2 kids, 4-year-old and a 9-month-old.
Cute.
Really cute. And then I have 2 fur babies. Well, three.
Three.
Three. But I think of like Lou and Abby and then.
Well, they don't know who that is.
Oh, sorry. Those are my dogs. I have a Great Dane and a Lab, and they're like my favorite children, and I tell my real children that all the time.
These are my favorite, and they are more hairy than you.
They are. And they don't want to eat every 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Snack, snack, snack.
Boob, boob.
A boob. Oh, all the boob.
Thank God she hasn't learned that word yet.
I know. No, she kind of has, because I'm like, do you want some booby? And she'll like
perk up.
Get her mouth open and like go
crazy. Is that
crazy.
Ryan too? Ryan's like, yeah, yeah.
He's like, I think he looks at my boobs now as like, like they have a job.
Yeah. They are doing.
They have nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
What else? I'm a nurse. Been a nurse for way too long.
How do you know me?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, your ex and my husband. Well, they went to high school together, didn't they?
I don't know.
And so in their uncoupling, their conscious uncoupling, I took Cheryl.
Yeah. In the divorce.
We never see the ex, so it's fine.
It all worked out. You know what?
Honestly, that's like, it's the same, kind of the same.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's how I got a lot of my friends. Yeah. Thanks, Tony.
And funny. Now I kind of call her like my life coach, because when shit's going down, I'm like, oh, my God. And she'll like slap me through the phone.
The logic into her.
Yes, it's nice.
You gotta have a friend like that. Like, that's a true friend who's just like, bitch, get it together.
Bitch, get it together. A confession, though. I didn't like Cheryl when I first met her. I thought she
was
maybe a little bitchy.
I am always bitchy. That didn't go away, honey.
Well, I know, but it's
you just get used to it. It's like the allergies. You just get you just build up a tolerance,
and you're like, okay. I took a Claritin, so today will be all right.
I've been injecting bitchiness shots into my arms.
I'll do it for you.
I think you've just laid so much truth out on me.
Oh yeah, that's
I'm stroking your ego.
That's a problem most of the time. My over honesty gets me into predicaments.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's better than being like one of those people who's just like, well, I don't know. And then like you just hold it all in and then like explode one day.
Oh, I still explode. I don't know why. Though. I really don't have anything
to do. Someone will drop a crumb and then she'll just loses her shit.
Don't you fucking drop a crumb in my new Subaru.
I actually started going to therapy recently.
Oh, you did?
I did. I know. I'm so fucking proud of myself. Awesome. Finally.
Yes.
And like one of the things, it was so funny, like this poor woman, I left there going like, did I do that? Was that right? I don't know. Did I do therapy wrong?
No.
And Ian was like, oh my God, no, there's no wrong way to do therapy. I'm like, okay, you're right. But I went there and she was like, well, like, tell me what I can help you with.
Yeah.
And I literally just like unloaded. I'm like, here's everything that's wrong.
Yeah. That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Two suitcases. Yeah. Like, bam.
Luggage.
And she's like, well, I think like we can work on this and we can work on this. But one of the things that you really need to work on is just more direct communication. And I was like, yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. I know. Okay. I know. Sometimes it's like you're just telling me things I already know, but I just refuse to do.
Yeah, because well, it's different because even though I like say you're my life coach, if you say it, I'll be like, whatever.
Yeah.
Cheryl. She's just always spouting that stuff. And then I go see my therapist and I'm like,
says the same damn thing.
I'm paying you.
Yeah. It's okay. She takes me out to lunch for my life coaching. Yeah.
Trade. Yeah, if you want Cheryl to be your life coach, just send us an email. The Woman's Planning Podcast.
You'll just cry a few times. It's fine.
It's okay. I'm brutally honest.
Well, let's be brutally honest to some of these questions that we have here from our listeners. I picked three questions that are related to dating and relationships. So the first one that we have from a listener, this is from our anonymous forum, by the way, which you can find on our Facebook page for those of you who might be just starting to listen to the podcast. You can send us questions anonymously. But also, if you don't, we're not going to judge you. It's all good.
Yeah.
No judgment.
Include your name and your address. Tell
and
me
your
everything.
Phone number. So the first question is, how does the fact a guy lives with his parents affect his dating potential?
Do you know that song Scrubs?
That's yeah, what I think TLC. Fucking Alex didn't know who TLC was.
He is like 20. Shut up.
I know. I try not to think about it.
He's pretty young.
I know. And then I like sang all of their songs right to his face very loudly. And now I don't think he likes them. But anyways.
I would say
Scrub.
I think it depends on the situation.
And the age.
Yes. So if you're like 19 and you're like going to college and it makes sense for you to be living at home because you're like trying to save money and you're dating another like young person, that
sounds normal.
Is normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you are an adult person who's like maybe past college age and you're just living with your parents.
I'm thinking like 26 on up. You're
like I feel like you should probably be like,
if school's
have your own place.
Not in the equation, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like, why are you – if you're not going to school or like, why
save, I guess you could be saving for a house, but I feel like you could just say that and no one would ever know.
Yeah, that's true. Like, well, actually, like, Ian and I moved in with my parents for, like, 4 months.
Yeah.
When we were in between houses. So, like, I feel like the three times when it's appropriate for you to live at home is, like, when you're in college, if you're looking for a house, and then when you're older and maybe you're, like, a caretaker to an elderly parent. Like, otherwise, get your own place.
Or if you have, like, a kid and you're a single parent. Like, yeah, if it's some sort of caretaking situation in parent form or in baby form.
Or if you're – okay, that's another one. Like, if you're getting a divorce and you have, a kid and you need a place to live. Like,
it's more like a
life
a temporary
circumstances.
Thing.
Right.
And, well, I guess with the parental care situation, it might be like a long-term thing. But yeah, if you're just chilling, I'm judging.
I'm just going
to
say.
If there's no legitimate reason for you to be living there for like life situation or like financially or whatever.
I mean, as a lady in her 30s, if I was to become single again, for God's sakes, don't let that happen. Alex, I love you. I don't even know that there is any, like, real instance that I would probably be okay with it. Because if you're also in your mid-30s, you should probably be financially stable and not, like, you're, don't be in college anymore. That's weird.
I guess or if you are, parent, if you're going back to school, like, if you're going to grad school or something.
Like, I still feel like you should be, like, set up to, like, function as an adult.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking at a certain point, you just gotta make your way.
More. Yeah, exactly. Just like, there's no more excuses.
Yeah.
Like, you should have some sort of savings account-ish.
Well, I mean, there's so many instances. So I probably, who knows, next week might have to move in with my in-laws. Who knows?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It just doesn't seem like at a certain point, parents have to shoo their kids out. That's just not life. You can't keep providing for them. It's not life. You're never going to learn life. You're never going to learn what it's like to have -2 cents in your bank account and still have to make bills.
If mom's still feeding you dinner every night.
That's just like a rite of passage. Snack. You have to do that.
I think things are a lot more expensive, though, now, too. Like,
that's true.
School is more expensive.
Rent is insane.
Rent's nuts. Like, most of the people I know who rent pay more than
my mortgage.
My mortgage, yeah. Oh,
but that's where...
I don't know.
You get some roommates.
Roommates. But, like, the parents are making it so hospitable. Like,
why would you try?
Why would? Yeah. Like, literally, there's no reason. Like, they can have friends over. They can have girls over. They have, like, a whole basement. Like, they're set up to, like, there's no reason to leave.
What do you guys – okay, what if you were dating a guy who was living in his parents' basement? But he was paying rent to his parents, and, like, it was a basement apartment.
Like a separate entrance?
With a mother-in-law? Okay, that's a little different.
I would be okay with that because fucking cheap
He's
rent.
Paying rent.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's your parents. You're like, oh, mom's
still gonna judge.
A little late.
Yeah. I mean, if your mom's like coming down though and like, I brought you a casserole, then I'm gonna be like, get out of your parents' basement.
Yeah.
Or like in Mean Girls where the mom walks in and is
hey,
like,
guys. Yeah, and her nipples are all hard.
That's how I imagine that going down.
Be safe. So my dad is moving here soon, and we've been talking because he wants to look into getting a house, and but you know the market's so crazy, and we talked about maybe purchasing together, like doing buying a duplex or a triplex, and then renting out one, and then making money. Anyways, but I was like, ooh, living next to my dad. I'm like, my dad's fucking cool. Alex is like, hell yes, I want to be your dad's neighbor. And I'm like, fuck yeah, my dad loves to drink and like we make good food and talk shit and it'd be great. But then I was like, oh my God, I'd always have to have like quiet sex. I was like, I can't live within like a block of my dad.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of friends with cool parents, and Ian's mom is like what I would consider like a cool mom.
Yeah.
But there still is a limit where you're just like, there's just still stuff I don't want you to know about my life.
Exactly.
No matter how cool you are, it's still weird because you're a parent, like my parent or my friend's parent or whatever.
Like I need 100 yards.
Yeah.
So right before I met my husband, he was living, I think he was living with Tony or something.
Downtown.
Downtown.
Yeah.
And that
was a house with
like roommates.
Five guys or something.
Yeah, he was 28, and I still kind of thought that was weird. I'm like,
oh, that he had to have five roommates at 28?
Yeah, that he was just,
you know, partying. The times were different, though. Like, now people just stay at home. The parents are like, yeah, that's fine. I don't want you to feel like you have to go anywhere. Let me make you dinner.
I'm sorry. I'm going to kick my kids out.
Yeah, seriously, kick your fucking kids out.
I can't even imagine trying to feed that many people,
the kids. Like, all the people who let their kids stay at home that I know of are very well off.
That's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
No, kids, gone. There is a difference, though. Girls tend to go, like, quick. They get out quick.
I did. I left when I was 18. It was, like, a month into being 18.
I moved in with Ian, like, after I graduated from college. Yes, I was, like, 21.
Yeah.
I was out when I was 16, 17. Yeah. So.
But I moved quickly back in once I realized, like, oh, I need to go to college in order to make money. So then I lived with my mom for, like, 5 or 6 years, which is, like, she didn't seem to hate it. So, and then as soon as I graduated, it was, like, a few months later, I bought my house, so.
Yeah, because you were in school. Like,
right.
So when I mean, Ian and I met when we were in college, and he was living at home, and I was living at home, and I had Mormon parents, and so, like, if we ever wanted to, like, bone or make out or anything, like, it was always, like, at his mom's house in the basement. His mom's cool, but still. It wasn't, like, when she was there generally.
Yeah.
She wasn't throwing condoms down.
Exactly. Like, be safe. Here you go. Here's a condom. No, it was – But it was just because it was more, like, accepted Yeah. It would have been more accepted had we gotten caught or whatever. But it wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't weird because I was like 19 and he was like 21. And then when we moved out, we moved in together.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, yeah, I don't know. I think it, I like, okay, so as far as how it affects someone's dating potential, I think it just really depends on the person.
Yeah.
And the situation.
And then how old you are too. Like if you're like a younger person, like, and you're dating and there's a guy and he's living with his parents, you might not care. But if you're like in your 30s and you're dating, you're not going to want a dude who's like living in his mom's basement.
Totally. I'm just curious, like if you have a full-time job, you're living at home in your parents' basement, what are you doing with your money? Like if I'm going to date you, like, and usually if I'm going to date you means
yeah.
I'm looking for a relationship, like, are you saving it? Are you just like...
Yeah, what if it's like, okay, so what if it's a guy in his 30s and he's living with his mom and you're dating him and he's like, I'm saving up for a down payment for a house.
I mean, that's like, legit. It really shouldn't take you that long, though.
We know some people who lived in their parents' basement and saved up.
Like a fuck
down. Yeah, money. Like I can't even... Like, sure, but there's like a
balance, though. Yeah. Like if you want to date a normal girl, like you're just... I would save up enough and then get out.
So I think at a certain point, though, you would, as the guy or whatever, and you're trying to save, yeah. you'd be like, oh, you know, I really like this girl, so maybe I should pull the trigger. Yeah,
exactly. Like I'm ready to leave the nest with my giant nest egg.
Yeah.
Do you think this... is a like a Utah thing though?
Ooh, kids I don't know.
Staying
I don't in their know. House
because, I mean, you have all. I'm not very familiar with the Mormon Church, but I know like girls, they aren't really supposed to move out, correct?
No,
like,
they all go on missions.
They go while they're on their missions. They're not moving out though.
They are.
I mean, well, they're moving they're, like
for 2 years.
Yeah,
but then they're coming back and.
Going back into the home until they get courted.
I'm from Michigan, so it's very different there. Well,
like,
on the East
Coast, it's really common for kids to stay. Because shit's expensive. Yeah. And, like, families are, like, A-OK, like, multi-generational families all living within the same home. Super normal.
Oh, that's another thing. I'm from Michigan, and where I'm at, it's, like, you can't find a job to save your life. So yeah. maybe that's why they're just, like, dispersing
to the big
city. You know,
get that job.
I don't know. The Mormon thing is interesting because I feel like people don't really stay living at home that much because they go off to college and they're like they're looking to get married like as early as possible. And then once they're married, they're like moving out of their parents' house. So I actually feel like Mormon young adults don't live at home that long.
So sorry, my brain is spiraling down this thought process.
Yeah.
What if you're not necessarily living at home with your parents, but your parents pay for everything?
Oh, I think that's very worse. Common. So I'm in property management, and all of our property—well, not all of them, but our properties that are closer to the U—we get insane amount of parents. Calling just to start, just like, hey, my kid's gonna go to college. I just need to get them an apartment. So what kind of application do they need to fill out? Can you give that to me so I can fill it out? And then they're usually their co-signers, but not just the start, but their parents will be the ones to like put in a work order. Like, hey, this is broken. Hey, this is a complaint. What? Like the parents do it all.
I would rather if I was dating a guy who was living at home with his mom, but he like paid rent and did chores and did his own laundry. It was just like, oh, like, yeah, I kind of can't afford to move out on my own right now. Versus like some guy who's like, yeah, this is my apartment. Like my mom pays for it. Like, that's worse to me. Because then you're like an entitled kind of rich asshole kid.
I think that's more common these days. Like I'd like to think that the first scenario is the situation in which it's just like a stepping stone.
Right.
But like I think people get comfortable and mom's like, well, I don't want you to leave. And you're like, okay, mom. I have dinner.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. My mom comes to visit for like 2 weeks every year.
Yeah.
Me and my husband slough off.
Yeah.
So really? Off. Because my mom's like a homemaker. That's like her thing.
Oh, so she's like busy.
Oh, she just, Like she'll be watching her stories and folding our laundry. And I don't even give a fuck that she sees my husband's underwear. I'm just like, I don't have to fold it.
My parents have like never seen my laundry room.
Like, oh my gosh.
No, I don't know what that's like at all.
She does my dishes. Cooks.
Oh my God, my mom wouldn't even know where anything was in my house.
Oh, my mom like reorganizes everything.
Oh.
That would get comfortable. But at the same time, as much as she lives in Michigan and I live here, and we have the perfect relationship because of that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I could see where it could get comfortable.
I feel like we answered that question. Yeah. Oh, that was pretty. Sorry. No, I was sitting there like, did we?
Yeah.
I feel like
it's all situational, but get out.
Final answer, situational, but there is a point where you shouldn't be living with your parents anymore, or else we're going to judge you a little bit. All right. Second question, how independent of a potential mate is too much or too little?
Wait, what?
When should you worry about how independent your partner is? Like,
well, so in what ways?
Well,
like wanting to spend time by themselves?
By themselves, yeah, I think.
Do you live together?
Or like financially independent?
So my husband and I, we still don't share a bank account. Like that's his, hers.
Same.
We just split.
Yeah.
And that's perfect. And I like it because I was married before and I had to share a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And they can just see everything you're doing. I like not them not knowing and like having my own money and all that stuff. But also, it's like, motherfucker, I don't need you. I want you. Like, I got my money. You got yours.
Yeah, are we talking financially independent?
I think it could be either. I think it could be financial independence, it's but also both. Just like – yeah, we don't need to be together every single second of the day.
Oh, me and my
I have my own hobbies.
Different.
I do my own things. You can do your own things. We both have our own friends.
I don't know. Think that's like, how many times a week do you think it's normal for like them to go out without you?
So it's not even going out with like Ryan and I.
Mm-hmm.
After the kids go to bed, he'll go downstairs. I'll stay upstairs.
Okay, but like how many nights do you think it would be normal?
We do that 3 or 4 nights.
I was going to say,
you
like,
go out without each other?
Like, where we're apart. We don't go.
Like,
we're parents.
Go out of the house.
We have kids. We don't go out.
We don't go out. But our away time is like he goes downstairs.
Yeah.
And does whatever.
Yeah. And I then, like to watch my stories
and,
alone.
See, from about 8 o'clock till we go to bed, you know, we just high five each other and go to bed.
I'm taking a bath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I love that. That's how I feel like I'm the same way. Yeah. Like, we're pretty independent. Like, I go do things without him all the time.
Oh,
he
yeah.
does things without me. Well, actually, the things that he does without me is him staying home while I go do things. Then he has, like, video game time or whatever. And I think that's normal. But I also think that, like, especially when you're married, I think you do need to sort of, like, take that time to go – hey, maybe we should go on a date because we're like together all the time.
What
and like
are dates,
right? Yeah, because like Ian and I don't really go on dates anymore. Like we're just like, oh, hey, do you want to go get food? Okay, let's go get food. Cool.
So we actually recently had this scenario start to come up because he's been going out with his friends like 2 to 3 times a week, and then when we're home alone, we don't end up doing anything. He's already gone out. I didn't do anything. And then we're just eating and watching the Jersey Shore every night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to always do this.
Yeah.
Well, like, but don't you think it kind of goes in like ebbs and flows? Like sometimes you're like really like outgoing and doing stuff together.
Sure. And but then I feel like I haven't left the house since last fall. And I'm like, it's summer now.
We gotta fucking do stuff.
We need to leave the fucking house. Like, I'm over sitting on the couch every
single
day.
In his defense, Utah weather's been fucking with us.
I appreciate it. It's not fucking sweltering. That's what he said too. He's like, it's been raining a lot. I was like, shut the fuck up. As in the result of our healthy conversation, not an argument, but we are now having a date night every week.
Yeah.
Thursdays.
I think that's really smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be a date, honestly. I just want to fucking leave the house. And it doesn't mean just go get dinner.
Right.
Because we eat every fucking day.
Right. Like do a thing.
I want to do a thing.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's – so I think that what you're describing, because I have the same problem, is really normal where you're like – because you live in the same place, you're like always together and you're always doing things. But one of you is reading a book and one of you is like playing a video game.
Yeah.
Or one of you's like watching Jersey Shore and one of you's like in the other room, like doing something else.
Yeah.
So I think that when you're in a long-term relationship, I think you need to focus more on actually finding like meaningful, valuable time to spend together.
Totally.
Like, I think that's what where the focus should be. Whereas when you're like first starting out with dating, I think the focus should be more on like finding time to be apart, because I think mm-hmm. people who are first dating, yeah. they're like, we are together all the time and we are inseparable and like mm-hmm. we have to do everything together. And it's kind of, it's like, no, be your own person still.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it just depends on like what phase of your relationship that you're in.
Totally. But you are right, Nikki. Like, I do think that it flows.
Yeah. With kids, yeah, I mean, especially young kids. We are not going out in public as often.
Yeah. Yeah, keep those kids in the house. Not your kids, but kids in general.
Yeah.
Like, they're loud and sticky. Like,
go to McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I won't be there. Go to McDonald's.
Right.
Okay, if I had to put a number on like, okay, how much independence is too much or too little in early and long-term relationships, if you are spending 2 to 3 days a week apart, I think that that's healthy. But I think that you, especially when you're in a long-term relationship, you need to at least be doing like 1 day a week where you are like purposefully connecting with each other and yeah. not just like we exist in the same space.
Yeah. And occasionally you go out.
Yeah. And occasionally you leave the house. No, yeah. I like literally I had that yeah. exact same conversation with Ian today. I was just like, okay, what are we fucking doing today? Because I'm not sitting – I'm tired of doing the same shit every single yeah. weekend. Like, where
Jersey
are we going?
Jersey Shore will wait I for
don't.
Us.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't even care. Like, let's just like go on a walk. It's a like, beautiful around day. The park. Who yeah. gives a shit? Like, whatever. Like, let's both just like physically leave the house.
Yeah.
I'm becoming so I'm
more
with
of
you.
A recluse.
I'm sorry. I am just like jealous of both of you. I would love just to be stuck in my house.
No. You chose to procreate, not me.
Mm-mm. I know I could still be jealous though.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'll send you pictures.
I know.
I think
it's definitely different for parents, but I think like yeah. even if you if it's a thing where like we don't always have time to get a babysitter and we can't always go out, like kids go to bed and sometimes we like just get drunk and listen to music together or whatever. Like, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're still spending mm-hmm. like quality time together, yeah. you know? I actually like Savage Lovecast is one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to. Holla. Like, he listens to this.
Yeah, Savage. He totally does.
But he always talks about how people in LTRs, long-term relationships with kids, like they have to sometimes schedule sex, and like a lot of people are like, oh, that's so unsexy. Like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but it's necessary. Like, you have to say like, Wednesday yeah. is the day we have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like allowing that time for you to connect.
Yeah.
And you like you sort of have to schedule it because you have to make time for it, because otherwise like it won't happen.
No spontaneity mm-hmm. happening at our house.
Schedule. No. Usually I'm like, I'll wake up and I'll be like, I think today's the day. I'm
yeah.
like, boo. Boo. Do you want to have sex later?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm like, I know it's coming.
I have lunch with Nikki. I'll see if I can get out of it.
Yeah, we have been having some lunch rendezvous.
Ooh, I canceled lunch on her one day, and she's like, it's okay, I'm going to go home. And
yeah. Because he was like, do you want to have sex today during lunch? And I was like, oh, no, I'm having lunch with Nikki. And then she canceled, and I was like, boo! Boom, lunch boom. Sex is back on!
Do you guys both work close to your house?
No, I do. And he does not.
He just drives
a
distance?
He has a full hour, though. And so it's about 15 minutes each way, and then it gives us 30 minutes for the boning.
That's a quick 30.
Yeah, you know, I also thought that there was going to be, like, time for food, but there never is.
What? They're like, Cheryl, didn't you just have lunch?
Fully get dressed and then not look like you have sex hair. So it's like you have to fully derobe, then robe again, and, like, stand in front of the fan and, like, try not to be sweaty anymore.
I'm just picturing you, like, coming back from lunch and, like, eating lunch at your desk.
Oh, my God, like, ravenously. Where have you been for the last hour?
Wait, didn't you just go to lunch? And you're like...
I'm like, I should wash my hands.
Errands.
What?
I have to run errands.
I have to run them.
Mm. I don't know. Ryan and I call ourselves commercial break because it's like 3 minutes done.
Jesus.
Right?
I need efficiency.
But we both like it. So it's
efficient.
Fine.
Yeah. In and out.
I think if you can be efficient, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I feel like the only time I really worry, or like the only thing I would worry about, is if you're starting a relationship and the person that you're starting a relationship with is really clingy and they don't have any independence. Like, they don't seem to have their own friends. They don't have their own interests. Like, you're the only thing that exists in their world. Like, I don't know. I think like that, I think that a lot of people think that's normal because like, oh, it's exciting and it's a new relationship energy and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, I kind of look at that as a red flag of like, this person doesn't have any friends. Like they have to see you. You have to spend every single fucking second of the day with them. Like that concerns me.
So my ex-husband, oh gosh, he was so clingy. It was bad.
And he's an ex.
Yeah. But it was just so weird. I remember one time like thinking, none of my friends, like husbands or boyfriends, go out with us. Like, why is he here?
Oh, like he wanted to go out with you and your friends all the time?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think it maybe it was like a jealousy thing. I don't know. Yeah, side note, sorry.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of weird. Yeah.
I don't really like going out with, I mean, I like Alex's friends, but when it's all Alex's friends and me, I'm like, there's only so many fart jokes I can take.
I know. But what about when you were like 23 years old and I totally endured a lot of fart jokes.
Oh, yeah. Because you're like, in the name of girl. Like, oh, I can hang out. I like your friends. They're cool.
Let's go shotgun a beer.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So the last question is, what's the difference between being infatuated and being in love? And when do you know the difference?
You think to yourself, am I infatuated or am I in love? You're probably infatuated.
That's true. The fact that you're asking the question, the fact that you're asking the question probably means that you are infatuated and that's why you're like concerned about it and wondering.
If it's like the first 6 months, you're infatuated.
Yeah, I was going to say like, what's the time period you're working with? Because like people say like love at first sight, I think you're fucking insane.
Yeah.
Like I need to know your cleanliness, like your eating habits. Like I need to know how you make a bed.
Yeah.
Like I don't know any of this shit when I look at your face.
So I think it's fair to say that infatuation is more of like it happens really early on in a relationship where you're just like, I have really strong feelings for this person. I want to be around them all the time. They're amazing. Everything about them is the best. I love them. And you might think like, oh, I love this person. But love, I think, is something that is slower and it builds over time. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So if you find yourself – and I even actually – when this question came up, I thought it was really interesting. And I even said to Ian like, you know, you and I said like, I love you pretty fucking early in our relationship. And I don't think that it was love for – like I don't think it was that. I think we thought it was because we were like both in our early 20s. But – you, it's like, I don't know. I just don't think it's possible.
I think you can love someone. To me, falling in love is actually not that hard. It's very easy. It's the staying in love. So you probably did say it like, I love you. Mm-hmm. But the first time you guys had an argument, like then that's like the staying love, you know, once you move past that part. But you have to have a good fight, like a good couple fights.
Yeah.
Before you commit to like serious things.
You're
because if you can get over those, then that's like the love forever building.
And I think that's what I mean by it's like it's a slower burn, because I think that if like the second that you have a fight with someone, you're like, oh, like, they're not as great as I thought, and all this these are wonderful feelings I had about them. Like, if it starts to kind of fade away, then I think that it was infatuation.
Yeah. Well, if it fades away and doesn't come back, you know, the next day, then maybe it was infatuation.
That's what I'm saying.
Because like, there's sometimes I look at my husband and I think, you could go. You could just go. I have to listen to you ask me about one more question that you're not going to listen to me on anyways, nurse-wise, I am going, you could go.
Yeah.
You can walk out, sir.
Yeah, I think like really being in love is you have to have a fight. You got to go through some shit. And you still want to look at that person's face the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have, and like even if you're like disappointed, you want to work through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody feels that way. That's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
because we're two different human beings,
but you work through it.
Yeah, and to work through change.
Yeah,
like people grow and they change, and to like know that that's okay, and to keep working on making your relationship work, like that is some legit love, not infatuation. By that point, infatuation would have faded.
Right.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like infatuation is selfish. And love is selfless.
Mm.
Like, okay, I think
you coming up with quotes.
Hey, girl. put that on a t-shirt. Put that on a t-shirt and sell it. No, like, when you're infatuated with someone, you want to be around them all the time and you have really strong feelings. But it's for you, right? It's because you're like, oh, this person makes me feel good and I want to be around them because they make me feel good and I like it being around them. And like,
why are they texting me? I want to call them. Exactly. What are they doing today?
Yeah.
Like, let's be together.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas like when it's like love, you're like, okay, I don't really want to do a thing, but I will do it for this person because it means it a lot to them and I love them and I will do this for them. Or like, I don't know, like I was just like, again, thinking of this earlier, of, you know, going to like a work party with like your SO or like going to like see a movie that they want to see that you don't really want to see.
Oh, totally.
But it's not because you're like, oh, well, okay, well, if I go see a movie with this person, like then we'll get to bone. He owes me and we'll get to bone later. Yeah. It's like, okay, I don't want to see this movie, but like, my SO is really fucking excited about this movie, so I will do it because, like, this is really meaningful to them, you know?
Yeah. Totally. Selfless. Cute. Selfless. Yeah, if it's been, like, 4 days, it's not love.
Yeah.
It's been 5 days, not love.
So,
it's probably not love.
But
it is definitely a longevity thing. Longevity
I think about when I got with my husband, too. It was pretty quick. I wasn't even divorced yet, first of all. And we said, I love you, and I still remember that first time I said, I love you. And I think back to that, just thinking now, I'm like, oh, that was only like 6 weeks in. Okay, that's weird.
I'm like, I liked you a lot.
But see,
I loved the sex. That's what I did.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, so did you feel like you actually were in the infatuation stage, but you said, like, because no one says, I'm infatuated with you. Like, that's not a thing people say. That's what I was saying.
When you're a murderer.
Right. Mm-hmm. When you're a serial killer. Like when I was first dating Ian, like we said, I love you super quick too. And I even told him, I was like, I don't think it was. Like, I don't think I knew what it was.
Yeah.
I was way too young. I didn't understand what love was. And I'm like, oh, we've been together for 13 years, married for 10. And so like now I know what that means.
Yeah.
If you knew what marriage was, like, when you got married, like what it would actually be versus your idea of it, would you get married again? Or would you be okay?
Ian's living? Like at the top of the stairs, like with a glass.
Yeah, he's like listening, like one of those earbuds.
Yeah, I got you, boo.
I think that you don't actually need a ceremony or something to like, I mean, people like it because it's like a symbol of like their love and it's a celebration. I think that's great.
And you get to say my wife instead of my girlfriend.
Pretty dress.
So I would say actually, okay, yes, I would because, and this is going to sound bad, but part of the reason why Ian and I, we were going to get married anyway, but we actually pushed our wedding up like 6 months because of taxes. Because I was working freelance and I was like dumb and a young person and didn't understand that like you had to put money aside to pay your taxes at the end of the tax year. Yeah. And so I was like, fuck. And so we got married so that I didn't have like a bajillion dollar tax bill.
Yeah.
But we were living together and we were planning on getting married anyway. We just push it up. And so I'm kind of like, it sounds really callous, but it's like, it didn't matter. Like, I don't know. Like,
do you think there were any times in your marriage that, like, if you hadn't been married, like, you would have separated?
No. Yeah. But I think that the thing that ties you, it's not the paper, really. The paper is easy. Yeah. You can dissolve the piece of paper. It's the house. It's the kids. It's the money. It's the, there's more things that you, benefits. Like, So like, even two people who have been living together for 20 years who have never gotten married, they still have to untangle their lives if they separate.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually more complex that way, as I know a couple who have been together for 17 years and are recently now becoming separated and they never married. It's actually more complex because there's nothing in writing. And not everyone's wanting to be fair. And so splitting assets is incredibly more difficult.
Right.
Since they didn't have a legal marriage.
Yeah. So the marriage thing just gives you legal protections like death benefits, health insurance benefits that you would not get if you just lived with the person. Yeah. Tax benefits, like all that stuff. Yeah.
So kind of along those lines of like the whole marriage thing and the infatuation. Mm-hmm. If all you want to do is get married, then it's probably just infatuation. Like, I'm going to marry this person. It's
want a wedding.
Yeah, because you don't need any of that.
No.
At all.
No.
Yeah, if you're more excited for the wedding and the party than you are for the part out that comes after that, then you got to rethink some shit.
Yeah.
Because the wedding is one night, and then everything else is your the rest of your fucking life. So.
Or, like, that's kind of those things, those boring life things.
Mm-hmm. You're already doing.
Yeah. So if you're more excited about these other just kind of one-time things, like getting married, then... Mm-hmm. You know, maybe slow down and think about that.
Yeah.
Take your time.
So another interesting thing about infatuation, like in a long-term relationship, maybe you've experienced this. I can't imagine I'm the only person who has. But like you sometimes will get a crush on somebody. Like, have you ever had that happen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's this thing where you're like, you have like this kind of like crush and you're like, oh, I'm like really excited to this person. Mm-hmm. And like we kind of flirt and like they're cute. Mm-hmm. But, like, you're not going to leave your husband for that person.
No,
right? Like, you know, unless, like, the relationship's really bad and, like, there's a good reason for you to leave your husband. It's generally not smart to be like, I have a crush on this person. I need to get a divorce immediately. Like, no.
Yeah, you give it time until they ruin it. And you're like, oh, they're still just a normal fucking human being like the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly. That crush, the crush bubble. Yeah. The crush bubble pops and you're like, oh, wait. Yeah.
We were at the car place. The car salesman gave me the key and we got in the car, me and Alex. And I was like, damn, he smelled good. And he was like, he did, didn't he? And I was like,
Yeah, but you're not going to be exactly. Alex,
and
I'm sorry.
And get out of the car.
We're breaking
up. I'm buying
up.
This car and I'm leaving with him.
I'm buying this car and the man in it. So for single people, I think that it's different, right? Because they just go, they're like, I really, really, really like this person. And because they're unattached, they can like go for that person. But then like the bubble pops and they're like, oh, I didn't really like that person as much as I thought. Okay, like now I'm on to person two.
Yeah.
And like people in long-term relationships still experience that. They just don't.
Much more mild.
Yeah, it's much more mild because you're like, I'm not. Like
gonna
I know.
Make any moves.
Yeah, I know what love is like in a long-term relationship. And so I'm not going to like leave my husband for every random dude I like get a crush on.
Totally.
Oh, yeah, because there's some cuties out there. And then you're like, okay, what friend can I set him up with?
Yeah. Tell me about his penis.
And then live vicariously. Yeah. I know. It's like, I think it's funny because I think sometimes single people think that like married people, you get married and then you like every other person becomes invisible to you. And it's like, no, you still look at other people.
To a degree, though, there is like something like I turn off. Like I noticed when I became single the last time, I, like, went to the grocery store, and I was single, and I remember just, like, making a lot of eye contact with fucking strangers, and I didn't realize I was, like, I was before going to the grocery store to get garlic and milk and bread, and then I left the grocery store. Like, I never interacted with any other human beings. I never fucking looked at someone. Like, I was just like, whatever, I'm here to do this, to go home to my boyfriend and, like, make dinner with my milk and my garlic. And then when I was single, I was like, oh, I have to, like, talk to people and, like, interact with humans.
You suddenly give a shit about what your hair looks like at the
grocery
store.
I was like, oh, God, I need to, like, look more, like, put together, not like a homeless person. So
she goes to Whole Foods. She can look like a homeless person.
Yeah, exactly. They all look like homeless people there. But yeah, I think there is like a tiny part of you that just like doesn't, you're not looking, like obviously you're not blind,
right?
And I'm going to smell the nice car salesman, but like I am not going to then linger and talk to the car salesman and be like, well, hey,
give the old,
like,
just flip like,
your number right to him.
Yeah, exactly.
The wink
I took
and the
your card
eye
for later. like, no.
I'll just put this right here for later. Slip it in your bra. That's true. Like, you don't become blind. Like, you notice attractive people, but you kind of like don't.
Yeah,
you're not trying. You don't need to try. You, like, don't give that much of a shit.
Like, spank bank, but like, not actually engage.
Okay, so I guess to wrap it up, what's the difference between being infatuated and being in love, and when do you know the difference? I think it's infatuation is more intense, it's shorter term, it's a little more selfish. Love is like a more subtle build, longer term, selfless.
Like a mild cheddar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Delicious.
And the thing is, I don't know if you know the difference until you're like 2 years in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It starts to fade.
When the love bubble, bubble starts to burst and you have your first,
you have a love puddle left after your love bubble.
You have a really bad fight and you still want to look at that person's face the next day. Then you're like, okay, this is probably love.
I fucking love that person.
Like, I can
even though
them.
I don't want to look at their stupid face right now, I will
fucking
look at their stupid
face
later.
Get in this bed.
So it is time for our mansplaining moment.
I kind of had a mansplain moment with like breastfeeding.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it. Let's hear this mansplaining moment.
Yeah. So I was sitting, I was at work, and I don't even know how we got into this conversation, but there was this guy. He was like, I mean, really smart guy. He worked in hospital for years, like ICU and stuff like that. Very nice. But he also worked in pediatrics and like the NICU and stuff like that. And he was, I think I said something along the lines of, I hear a cat meow and I start leaking. And he's like, yeah, well, I taught a whole bunch of women about breastfeeding and I can essentially lactate too. And I was just like, no, mm-hmm. sweetheart. Like, the moment that baby latches on after your milk comes in and you are screeching because it hurts so bad, then you can talk. But don't, just because you taught some women right. how to breastfeed.
As a medical professional yeah. person.
Yeah. No. And if he was anything like the first nurse that I had, male nurse, did not do a good job.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's just, it's like, even though you know
don't have the parts.
Yeah. Even though you might know a lot about it, like medically.
You don't know. I think
the experience of it is different. The like emotional, mental, whatever. Like you just know like the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Don't tell me you can lactate because you taught somebody. No. That's like saying you're in labor because your wife, you saw your wife in labor. Like, no.
This is fucking, okay, this is why it drives me crazy. And we've talked about this before.
Yeah, are you about to,
Yes. When people say, oh, they're pregnant. I'm like, don't the man is not pregnant.
Why it makes you mad.
It is so annoying to me. Because
they're not pregnant.
They're not fucking pregnant.
But it's like sharing the burden, not taking away.
No, there is no sharing of burden. At least with my husband.
The human inside you is half them. That's a share.
But like they're not responsible for the carrying of the
10
human.
Seconds
yeah
no, in that role of things,
but both of you are going to have a child.
Yes,
we're so both that's going to have a child, but we're not both pregnant. We're both about to be parents. But motherfucker, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, so when people say they're expecting, I'm like, yes, they are both fully expecting to have a child.
I did not have a problem with it until I listened to the podcast.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
And then I was like, yeah.
Oh, my God. And yes. This is why I'm not having kids.
I'm changing minds. No, I still like, it's so funny. Anytime someone says it, I get like, I don't say anything, but I get
a
slight.
Yeah, you don't want to be a dick.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Okay. That guy could sleep through the night. He didn't get up 10 times to pee.
Yeah.
His round ligaments weren't stretched beyond all belief. He didn't get bronchitis.
I am aware of what does not happen to a male's body when you give birth.
He did not get bronchitis and pee himself at work.
Do you need
every
me
day.
To call him and put him on speakerphone so you can yell at him? Because I am not your husband.
No. He does. And like the whole breastfeeding thing too.
Yeah.
The only thing he has to do is bring me water because there's a moment when the baby latches, my mouth goes dry.
Whoa.
It's like
ew.
Mojave nice. Desert. He just has to get me water. No, you know what that motherfucker did? Taught our four-year-old how to go get me water.
He's smart.
He's like, work smarter, not harder.
Like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Ah, that's hilarious. No one likes
you. I love
nipple.
You. If you listen to this, he won't listen to it.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. And thank you, Nikki, for being
Nikki.
To be our guest.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So we're going to go on a little bit of a hiatus for the summer because Melissa is going to be super, super busy with her job.
She's like in the Caribbean all
she's
summer
like,
long.
Yeah. She's just
on a beach.
Now.
Wait, what?
She's no. But how cool would that be?
That would be really fun.
Like, she makes necklaces
job.
Now.
Yeah. She's one of those people who sells her seashell necklaces on the beach in the Caribbean.
And braids your hair.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, we'll be back with the new episodes in the fall. Please keep sending us your questions. We also need more mansplaining moments. So if you have a question or a mansplaining moment, you can email us, thewomansplainingpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us. We're at TWPcast. We're on Instagram. We have a phone number, which you can find in the show notes, and you can call and leave us a voicemail, and we will answer your questions. Thanks for listening and sticking around.
Bye.
Bye.